Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
We always like to have him on because I say he makes the show smarter. He's our buddy Brent Rollins from...
Stop.
Chuck, please. From PFF College and also UGASports.com. You can also hear him on Bulldogs by the Numbers, the podcast he does with Tug Cowart. Brent, it's good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks
Pleasure
for
being here.
Stopping by. We got a lot of ground to cover, and then we're going to break into our final mock draft. We have our PFF mock draft simulator. Chuck and I did this a few weeks ago. That's not the simulator. And we're going to play it out live on the radio a couple of different times to see if we're all on the same page.
That's an amazing piece of digital technology there.
You're very intrigued
I'm
by this.
So, right. I'm just, and again, the parameters on the side you can adjust for. Positional value, draft for needs.
It's fun.
I like all this.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Is this new?
Well, that's the PFF guy.
Oh. No.
No, it's not. We did it about a month ago.
But it's evolved over the past couple years.
Yeah, we did it about a month ago, but this is fun.
All right, Brent, let's start broad here, and I just want to start with the Falcons at number four. Let's say they stay where they are. No, let me change that. They're on the clock at number four. You get the three options that everybody's talking about. You take the quarterback, you take Pitts, you trade out. What are you doing?
I think this draft, for me, you need to look at four and then everything else. Four is in one spot because you think about they've now had Matt Ryan for 13 years. This will be 13 years since he was picked. Since then, they've only been in the top 10 three times. They've never been in the top five. And one of those is because of a trade, the Julio trade. So you're in a unique position as a franchise that you've not been in regularly. And to me, because of that, because of the value, and I think you actually, I was listening on the way here, and you were talking about value of quarterback versus anything else. Because of the value of the quarterback, if you draft Andy Dalton at four, for example, and you get 7 to 8 years of Andy Dalton, it's still more valuable than any other player that you can take. That any player that you would take at four that's not a quarterback would have to literally be a Hall of Fame level type player to get the value from that draft spot. So to me, it's quarterback. Unless you only have, the guy that you have marked at four goes at three.
Right. Which it doesn't sound, now if we believe what everybody thinks that Mac Jones will be the pick, I can't imagine that Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith were hot and heavy after him, which also makes four more intriguing, Brent, the fact that if Matt does go three to the Niners and you were hot and heavy after Justin or Trey, and there's Kyle Pitts and the phone's ringing for trades, I mean, you have all the options available.
It will be fascinating to me to see how they use the clock. Like once they're on the clock, for example, do they come on the clock if Jones is the pick at three? Do they come on the clock and 2 minutes later the card is in? Versus they turn the card in with 8 seconds to go. That tells you a lot, I think, about where they are and what they were doing during that time frame. Because I think you're not going to get – they're probably talking trades right now, obviously, a little bit of framework of that. Hey, I'd like this. I wouldn't like that. Back and forth. But you're not going to get the, hey, this is our offer, final deal, and take it or leave it until I think they're on the clock. Nothing's going to happen until then.
There's an additional variable, and knowing numbers and statistics and everything the way you do, I don't know if it's possible to include this accurately, but there is another variable. You said Andy Dalton, he starts 7 or 8 years. If you draft a defensive end or running back or any other position, he had to be near Hall of Fame player. I would say if you spend 7 or 8 years with Andy Dalton as your quarterback, you have to compare it to how many quarterbacks you could have had that were better than Andy Dalton. What does he cost you in terms of quarterback production instead of comparing him just to a defensive end, wide receiver, running back? Like, I don't even know how you quantify that.
No.
But if I, like the Bengals, that wasn't a win for them. That whole Andy Dalton thing, they got their quarterback starter for 8 years. That wasn't good.
Other than the playoff appearances, which they couldn't do anything once they got there. But yes, but that's the numerics of it. That's sort of the math of it. But yes,
like I said,
agree.
You can't value
it's very
that
hard.
Because I'm also thinking about, all right, well, maybe instead of having, like at the fourth pick, and this is more anecdotal than anything because it's still the individual player. But Matt and I talked about the idea, and it freaked me out a little bit more. It was kind of stark that you could take a player at four, take a quarterback, and he's the fourth quarterback off. You're getting your fourth choice at a position, and you're drafting fourth overall. I think next year, I don't know, Sam Howell, JT Daniels, Spence Rattler, next year's quarterback class looks a hell of a lot more intriguing to me than this year's.
I mean, that's where, and that's what's unique to me about this class, because you don't have Chase Young, you don't have a Bosa, you don't have those type of players that on the edge
kind of back you off of the top five
that make you feel a little better about passing on quarterback. But it's because you have quarterbacks who have insanely high level production, play, talent characteristics. I mean, you have two players who were basically the top two or three recruits ever with Lawrence and Fields, you know, so plus what Zach Wilson has now done, and then Trey Lance. So you have guys, Mac Jones had one of the best college seasons we've ever seen. So the amount of quarterback just star power that you have at the top is unlike any draft we've ever seen.
Brent Rollins from PFF College is with us, UGASports.com with Chuck and Chernoff. So let me ask you two things. Number one, and I'm going to couple them together, if the Niners do take Mac Jones at number three, how much are they overvaluing him compared to what the rest of the league thinks and what your numbers tell you? And add into it what they gave up. And if that happens, which of the two quarterbacks would the Falcons be better off, in your opinion, taking?
The better off part is the most intriguing one. But in terms of Mac, I think he's 13th on our overall board. So, and you look at his past season, he was the highest graded quarterback in college football, highest passing grade. In terms of accuracy, especially within 10 yards, it's the most accurate season we've charted since we've been doing all that. And then you look at just how he handled that offense with an NFL-level offense, basically, in terms of personnel. He did exactly what he had to do in terms of ball placement, all that kind of stuff. But you don't see the, you know, elite physical athletic characteristics. Now, I will say, I think he's not given credit for the athleticism part like he should be. I think when you look at the combine or the testing type numbers, he's at least 75th percentile in a lot of those numbers. But, you know, the hard part is he was in such an analytically slash I'm open, so many guys that are just wide open in the throws and the windows that he had to make. Yes, it's hard to.
He had a Heisman Trophy receiver who I think was the second best receiver on the team.
Exactly.
So some guys were running free, man. Now, he hit them, but it was an offense, like, it was built to succeed.
So then let's take it to the next step. If Matt goes off the board at three and it's Trey or Justin, which does Pro Football Focus project as the better player?
Justin Fields right now is higher on our board. Trey Lance, I think, around 10th. Fields is third. And when you look at, when you think, like, if you just, all the noise that's around it right now, if you remove the noise and you said, all right, I have the quarterback who had the highest clean pocket passing grade in college football over the past 2 years. And that's, when you look at stability of measurements, that's one that's very stable. So year over year, it typically stays around the same. So you have that. You have the most accurate, once you remove things like screens, you have the most accurate quarterback in the class. And you also have a guy who runs a 4.440. When you take away all the noise and you look at that and you're like, okay, that's pretty easy. This guy should be in the conversation for number one, not necessarily number four. But there are some, you know, question marks a little bit. And with Fields, it's twofold. One is his average time to throw was, I think, one of the top three highest, right around like 3.1 seconds
in
the
class.
Which makes
sense, playing elite talent around him, offensive line, all that. Yeah.
All that kind of thing. The interesting thing about it was when he was blitzed, his time to throw actually went up.
From scrambling?
No, just from holding the football.
Oh.
Because one of the two unique numbers, and that's, by the way, in terms of the NFL, he's about a half a second holding the ball longer than anybody at the NFL last season. And then secondarily, the amount of pressures that were, when he was pressured, that turned into sacks. One of the highest in the draft class. One of the highest in the league.
Number when he was coming out of OU.
And it's, and a lot of that's, I'm in the pocket, I'm staying here, I'm staying.
Just throw it, man. Just throw it.
Just get rid of the ball. Yeah. Like, Mac Jones was half of that in terms. His was 25%, Max was around 12%. So there's the question of, does he really see it? I knew Carlos did a video, YouTube, like, showing, hey, the ball's got to be out here, but it's actually out here. Just a little bit of that. But the thing with him is just accuracy. Yeah. The accuracy for him, especially down the field, is next level. Now, with Trey Lance, you see the tools. It's tools upon tools upon tools, but you just haven't seen it.
Right.
He has 311 college passing attempts. I think I heard a stat. I think I heard a number. I didn't see it, but I think he had like 30-ish attempts when trailing, like in his career. So he is more projecting. But when you look at, like, Quincy Avery, that's local here to Atlanta, talked about all the stuff that he had to do at the line of scrimmage for them. So it's fascinating to me, that question, because that's then becomes to your evaluation as a team.
Oh, we're going
to
go through our mock simulator in a minute. Let me ask you a couple of quick things here. Number one, running backs for the Falcons. If you're looking second, third, middle rounds, look at the PFF numbers and tell me who they project value-wise that makes the most sense.
Well, for us, in terms of big board, is Javonte Williams from North Carolina is the number one back on our board. Najee Harris, second, then ETN. So those.
Tell me about Javonte Williams. Why is he higher than Najee or ETN?
Because one of the things that we've found over time and looking at the data is that if you can make people miss in college and break tackles, it translates to the NFL. Okay. So guys like David Montgomery in Chicago, you know, things like that, where we were higher on him than a lot because your ability to break tackles, and that's something that Williams does better than anyone in the class. But for me, like, if I'm the Falcons and I'm looking at running back, there are two players to me that I can get a lot later that I like a lot better in terms of the value proposition. Someone like Kylan Hill from Mississippi State, who said, all right, I'm going to show that I can catch the ball, and then I'm going to start getting ready
for
the draft.
He got his tape.
And he did it. He straight up did it in the two or three games that he played. And then Elijah Mitchell from Louisiana.
He's a touchdown machine.
Lots of touchdowns and minimal usage, a lot of sharing of the ball, and 4.38 40. So, like, home run threat.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing you said there that I have always thought about the NFL, that maybe one of the biggest differences in college. In the NFL, if you're a running back, brother, you kind of do it on your own. Like, NFL teams do not pay offensive linemen to blast open holes in the running game. They pay NFL linemen to do one thing, protect the quarterback. That is it. And so the ability to make someone miss or just break the tackle. The tackle magnets that come out of college, and I'm going to – that doesn't work. But a guy who can legitimately break tackles, because you have to in the NFL.
Very much so.
All right, last one before we do our mock here. Let's go through the Georgia players. Where do you project Ojulari, the corners, like Jamie Newman? What do you think it looks like throughout the first several rounds?
Ojulari, I think, definitely is in the first round. But the where, to me, is
– Wait, just got mad that I put Newman in the Georgia players.
That's a weight guy.
That doesn't shock me.
Sorry, but I apologize.
I think he can go anywhere from 11th with the Giants to 27 or 31 at the Ravens.
Wow.
Anywhere in that range, because the edge class this year is such a unique class, because every one of them has something that you don't necessarily like, whether it's medical, whether it's lack of production, whether with Ojulari, it's maybe a little bit of a size issue. So each one, but for him, when you look at highest pass rush grade, their last college season, he's only behind Chase Young, Josh Allen, and Nick Bosa. It's those three, then him, in terms of their production that last year.
Campbell Stokes.
I think both of those are at the top of the second, maybe even in the late first. Just depends on if a run of cornerbacks happen, and you see like 3-4 picked in a row or picked out of 5-6 picks, then I think someone might trade up, much like the Falcons did to trade up to get McGarry. Yeah. Someone might trade up to get – I think Stokes goes first, though.
I left out Ben Cleveland. Is he second, third round?
I think he's middle to late third round. The biggest thing that people forget about him is that he's actually a really, really good pass blocker and has only very few pressures over – I think like 13 over 600-plus pass ball.
He needs to keep his shirt on then, because you see that and you're like, oh, he's a run blocker.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a behemoth.
He's a specimen, very much so.
Last one, where do you think Jamie Newman fits in?
I think he's sixth round at best, very much
really?
So.
Really? Like that late, huh?
That kid cost himself some money.
Yeah. And just quarterbacks in general. I think once teams don't take them in the first two rounds, they're just going to wait.
I want to mock.
Two guys that mock better than anyone.
Are you mocking me?
It's Chuck and Chernoff's Mock Draft Breakdown.
All right, we did this a month ago.
Is this our final mock? This is very sad.
Well, this is our final, I'd say, trade-off hot potato mock.
Oh, okay.
So what we did last time is Matt and Chuck had to make arguments to Terry Fontenot, our imaginary general manager, played at the time by Keith Ippolito. That's why he got his promotion to Braves Radio Network. He did such a fine job there. And what we're going to do is I'm going to have each one of you basically get a chance to control picks in the draft. So, for instance, this time around, we're going to have Chuck use the first round pick. Matt, you're the second round pick.
All right.
Chuck, the third. And we'll change it out again. Now, both times, if you need counsel here, you can go to Brent Rollins, and Brent will explain with his data some of the things you're looking to do. So, Chuck, I'm going to start this draft. You are going to be on the clock first, as Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Justin Fields are the first three picks in the draft. Chuck Oliver, you are now up in the mock draft.
Don't like it. It's imperfect, but I'm also not going to whine about it. Kyle Pitts.
I actually think it's the best pick. Kyle? If you don't take quarterback, I think Pitts is the best pick, specifically because of what Arthur Smith likes to do with tight ends.
And I should reference, in this mock that we just simulated, that Justin Fields went third. So theoretically, under these, you know, this premise, he wasn't available.
Now, Matt, you are now getting a chance to pick the second round pick. If you take a look at what is on the board as of right now, or if you would like to ask Brent about kind of the profile of somebody you're looking
here's
for.
Here's a couple of things. Give me two positions here. Give me the best of the edge rushers or the best of the safeties. Or you know, you can throw a corner in there as well. Is there? Give me one of those three that fits at number 35.
Well, if you're looking at me, I would be looking at maybe Boogie Basham.
Okay.
Wake Forest, yeah.
That's one of them. If you're looking for a guy that might be a little bit of both.
Zaven Collins is on the board.
Zaven Collins can probably give you some stuff off the edge and in the middle of the field, too.
What about Greg Rousseau? What are we
in play last year? I wonder about him a little bit.
I personally would stay away from Rousseau just because of what he did at Miami. Most of his pressures and sacks came from the interior, and the athletic testing that he put on was just not very impressive. But the Basham pick, if you want edge, okay. He's actually done it more than anyone in this edge class in terms of snaps and continual years of productivity.
Size, give me size on Basham.
6'5", 280.
Yeah,
he's a big boy off the edge.
Let's go. There's my pick. 6'5", 280. I'm taking Carlos Basham. Give me some edge.
You
some
drafted
size.
Boogie Basham all in right. The second round. This next pick that we're going to have for the Falcons is coming up third round at a 68th overall. Chuck, you are now in charge of the board. What are you looking for, and we can help you from here?
If you pick anybody but that second guy,
oh,
we're going to fight.
Yeah,
Travis Etienne somehow on the board in the third.
I'm about to get gorgeous and talk safeties and corners and all that. No, Etienne, sometimes, what is the phrase? I let the draft come to me.
Yes.
In this case, that's exactly what happened. So now with the fourth round pick, 108 at overall.
Oh, hell, I'm going to be mayor.
Matt, you are now on the board.
So we're going best player available at this point. He took running back. We went edge. We took Pitts. I do need to address safety at some point here.
What's oh, Kenny Gainwell was still out there.
Gainwell, but you got Travis. You're fine with that.
I see
that. Chuck, how good is Deonte Brown?
I love him. He's a mauler. He's a big one, too.
Let me solve one of my interior offensive line spots. Let me take Deonte Brown.
I like his mentality.
Fourth-round pick out of Alabama.
Deonte Brown, the guard out of Alabama, is now the pick.
Thank you.
And probably your starting left guard.
Thank you, Brent. See, I just made a good move.
In the fourth round. Wow. You're outstanding there.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so here comes our grade as we're finishing up the draft.
All right, what do we do? Oh, we are winners. Oh, except for my pick.
No, I like the Deonte pick.
So Kyle Pitts graded on the PFF grading at A+. Carlos Basham Jr. an A-. Travis Etienne an A-. Deonte Brown a C+.
Hang on. And I think our new head coach will like Deonte Brown.
Overall, the grade is an A, Brent Rollins. A.
Very good. And one of the interesting things when you think about our simulator is – Carlos had set it to where the PFF board was the sort of preferred. That's why you see ETN falling and being available in that third round pick. I think for the most part, you're going to see them more, those guys, early second round.
Can we do it one more time?
So, yeah, I can scale it back.
So there. We had tight end, edge,
right.
Running back, and then our fourth.
Interior line.
Interior line.
Yeah.
And guard.
All right, let's do
that?
It again. Let's try it one more time right, at number four.
Let's do the draft once again. This time, though, Matt, you get to start off. Your first three picks off the board have been Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Justin Fields to San Francisco.
I know Justin's not going three. I was going to take him at four. But if that's the case, I will take Kyle Pitts.
Wow, Chuck actually see eye to eye now.
Hold on. Let it be known that if Mac is gone the way we all believe, I would take Justin Fields. That would be my pick at four.
And if, to me, again, fourth pick becomes its own entity. I take Lance. I take the
Lance
quarterback.
Lance over Justin, huh?
Well, if Justin is gone.
Yeah.
If Fields is there at four, I think you take him.
Let me add the worst possible nightmare in this is Carolina just twiddles their thumbs, waits, and Justin's on the board for them at number eight. Holy cow. All right, Charles, you're on the clock at number 35.
I want to ask the same thing. Who's the edge or who's the corner?
You do have Elijah Molden. Well, he's more of a safety, though, at this point. Yeah.
Well, and one of the interesting things about Molden is he's the highest graded slot corner.
Ooh,
played
yeah.
a lot of slot at Washington. And to me, slot corners get undervalued a lot in the NFL, and that is a very valuable, like, to me, that's where I would
go. You might as well refer to him as a starter as much as you're
yes.
a nickel. Slot corners are starters.
Did I see Ronnie Perkins' name up yonder?
You did?
Yes, from Oklahoma, the edge defender from Oklahoma.
Sold.
All right.
Ronnie Perkins.
Ronnie Perkins
Chuck
is
prefers
the
pass rush over coverage.
Smart. It's not a bad way to do it.
No.
Build the right way.
All right, Matt, you're up next. 68th overall in the third round.
I got to get a running back. Let me see what I got available here. What do we have in the third round running back-wise that's in that range? Because if we're in the Kenny Gainwell world at that point.
You're probably going to get Losa's pet cat there.
You may have ETN again.
Well, right now I've got Netflix and Prime Video. And
you got Michael Carter available.
I've got Carter. Is Gainwell on the board?
Let me take a look. I got to look.
Likely should
running
be.
Backs here.
Yeah, Kenny Gainwell's there. I'll make him my pick. Versatile back, catches the football, got the ridiculous speed.
Kenny Gainwell is on the board.
All right, Kenny Gainwell's my pick at number 68.
That is your draft pick at number 68 overall. Chuck, you get to wrap things up. Number 108. Let us see who is on the board as the pick is
Kenny
now.
Gainwell, by the way, 51 catches on 59 targets okay. the last season he played. Opted out of 2020.
Right.
So.
He is a monster when he goes to receiver. All right, Chuck, here's what we got on the board here. I'm going to kind of scroll through.
Chuck, you want Parks and Rec, or do you want...
I'll take Forrest Whitaker.
we lost the mirror image. So
oh, I'm sorry.
Is it Netflix original, right? Thunder Force?
Dude, and then there's a Peacock original. There we go.
Somebody tore up his Trans Am.
Listen, the technology isn't always agreeing with me over here.
All right, so this is the fourth round pick, Charles. What are you thinking? Positionally, anyway.
Okay, here we go.
Here I am thinking Chuck is really being deliberate, rethinking it. I'm like, I didn't know idea.
Go back, Jamar Johnson.
So Jamar Johnson is a very interesting player because you don't see him mocked.
I think he could be second or third round.
Because there's so much great, but there's also a lot like missed tackles and other little bit of bad there. But there's a lot of high-end physical traits and play from him. Kendrick Green is another one that I like at that spot because he also play a lot of center.
I'm going Jamar
Johnson. Athletic.
What are you doing?
Jamar Johnson.
Jamar Johnson, the safety out of Indiana. Your grades are coming up right here.
All right, so let's be clear. We got the best player in the draft, we think, on the board at Kyle Pitts at that point.
We got an edge.
Second round went edge with Ronnie Perkins. Third round addressed the running back position with Kenny Gainwell, and then Jamar Johnson went safety in the fourth round.
Could I ask us, Matt, you do this. Let's do it one more time. I know we're busy.
We can do it. We got A's across the board, by the way. The total grade was an A for that draft.
Do it again, except take someone other than Kyle Pitts.
Okay.
All right, started up here.
Can I take the quarterback? I mean, give me Trey Lance at number four. Let's just see how that plays. As we reset this, I want to see what that looks like.
So, Chuck, who's fascinated with the simulator, you go in there, the trade options come up that you can look at there if you want to. But anyway.
In this case, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields.
Take Trey Lance.
All right, we're going to take Trey Lance.
I can already tell you're going to get an A.
Carlos, you got to scroll a little bit to get to Trey.
Not quite that far. He's only like 11th.
How dare you? He's off the board, so we got our pick at number four. Now, Chuck, what are we doing at 35 now? We got the quarterback.
Well, seeing how we have a player who won't play the next 2 years, we have an immediate need.
He's so bitter. He's so bitter. He's so bitter. Bitter table of one.
Now, you know what? I'll take Ronnie Perkins again. You have to.
All right.
Ronnie Perkins is the pick at 35th overall, 68.
We're going to have the worst running back room in the league.
No, we're not. We're going to attack it in round three, brah.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to start you at safety.
No, we have I'm sorry. Mike Davis is my starter. I'm going to go third-round pick. I don't believe Travis Etienne will be on the board, so I'm not even going
to. You want me to look at the running backs at this
give me
point?
The running
Michael Carter, Khalil Herbert, Trey Sermon.
Is it too high for Sermon?
Herbert is another, to me, that is an interesting one because of his numbers and then the fact that he has very light load in terms of his carries.
Yeah,
he's less than 300 carries. 1 year.
All right, I like the light load. I'm going to take Trey Sermon, running back Ohio State.
Sermon is the pick. All 108 right. is now your final pick in the fourth round.
Chuck, get me a safety.
See who's on the board.
All right, so we got a player who's not going to play.
The same player is going to be there, I bet.
Ronnie Perkins and a running back so far, right?
Yep. You're so
Can you take
bitter.
Kelvin Joseph this time around?
I'll take Kelvin Joseph.
Let's take
Absolutely,
Kelvin Joseph.
I will.
Oh, we got a corner.
Got
Very
a corner
good.
In the
old
fourth.
LSU kid that transferred and balled
Can I tell you
out
something?
A little bit.
I would make out with this draft right now. If this is the draft right now, I would. Seriously, I'd French kiss this draft. I'm so excited about it. I love that. Trey Lance, I got my future quarterback.
A-plus, by the way.
An edge rusher, Trey Sermon and Kelvin Jones. A, Charles, A.
How much they pay you, Terry Fontenot?
This is easy.
I can do this.
Brett Rollins, you can check out his work at PFF College, UGASports.com. The podcast is Bulldog by the Numbers.
Good stuff.
It's great stuff. We always love having you in.
Appreciate it.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Coming by, my friend. There's Brent Rollins with us. Go check out his great work.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.